welcome to Faith FM's Drive Time Big Q&A show. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day friends, it's Pastor Will Mawala. We are coming to you live from our studio here in South Australia, who have a wonderful theme that we're going to introduce in just a few moments. So wherever you find yourself here on a beautiful Monday evening, we thank you for choosing to join us for this next hour or so. So we have a wonderful theme, but before we get to that, I would love to introduce my co-host for tonight, in the hot seat, Pastor Gary Hodgkin.
G'day, Will. It is wonderful to be able to be in the studio with you, but this time sitting on the other side of the desk.
Yes. Pastor Gary is filling in for Pastor Brenton. So Pastor Gary, it's always a pleasure to work alongside you, and it's great to be in the studio with you tonight, mate.
It's really good to be able to co-host with you, Will. You know, it's a terrible thing when our presenters do actually get sick.
Yes.
They're not well. And then at the last minute, actually ring me up and say, Pastor Gary, I can't make it in today. So I was volunteered to actually come and join with you.
Wow.
And I regard that as a real privilege. Love being on air, love being able to share with the entire audience. We just get so much fantastic feedback from our people. So this is not a negative, this is an incredible positive.
Well, great to hear your enthusiasm and passion, Pastor Gary. So Gary, we got a brand new theme that we want to introduce to our listeners out there in Radio Land. So here it is, guys. What we'll be looking at, our team, as well as Pastor Gary and myself, the church and creation in a post-biblical era. So we're going to be looking at the concept or the idea of creation from a biblical perspective. And the theme says the church and creation in a post-biblical era. In other words, there may be a current within our culture that may not necessarily agree or be in alignment with what the Bible actually says about the topic of creation. And so our team are going to be looking at that. But tonight, Gary, our big question for tonight is creation. What does the Bible say and why does it matter? So I'm glad, Pastor Gary, that you will take the lead on that conversation. A little later on in the week, our team going to be talking about worldview, the topic of evolution, what does the gospel say about creation? And we're going to tie it in nice at the end, this concept of Eden to eternity. And so I'm loving how our team look at different aspects of the theme. But tonight, as I just said, our question that Gary and I will be looking at is creation. What does the Bible say? And why does it matter? And so I hope you will enjoy our program for the hour. We have some wonderful content lined up, and we hope that you will indeed be blessed by our program this evening. As we always like to do, and as what I always like to really encourage, if you're out there in Radio Land, you're listening to my voice right now, and that's if you're not driving, we really appreciate you. Let us know where you're tuning in from. It's always a blessing to see all of the people who are listening from right across the country. And so I want to plug the number here at this juncture, 0488 80811. And hey, if you're a regular listener, or you know, you're familiar with Faith FM Ministry, I always say this, Gary, when Brent and I are in the studio, put the number in your phone and save it. Because it's the same number that we use week in, week out to plug our book offers and to connect with us. So here's the number once again, 0488 80811. And you can save it under Faith FM or Drive Time, BQ&A, whatever you want to put in your phone, because that's the number that you will need for our book offers and to connect with us. So without further ado, as we always like to do at the top of the hour, we share a segment of what we call World Watch. So we kind of look at stuff that's happening in our current world. And Pastor Gary, I was sharing with you just before we went on air, the conflict that's happening in Iran, between Iran and the US, as it's kind of been swamping the media. And if you've been watching anything on the world news stage, that's what's happening in that area. But the article I want to share has a bit of a religious spin on it.
Twist.
Religious twist. So let me just read the article, And love to hear your perspective on it, Pastor Gary, and also to our listeners out there. Hey, if you've got a few moments and you're listening to me right now and we're sharing about this topic of what's happening with US and Iran and how, you know, the world, even us in the Western world, we're somewhat impacted by what's happening between the US and Iran. I would love to hear your thoughts as well. So here's the article, Pastor Gary, and I got it off the Guardian website, and it was just posted a couple of weeks back on March the 4th by Sarah Braun. And so here's the title of the article. US troops were told war on Iran was, quote, all part of God's divine plan, Watchdog alleges. And so the subtitle here is Religious Freedom Group says 200 troops sent complaints of superiors using extremist Christian rhetoric to justify the war. Now, Pastor Gary, let me read maybe a couple of paragraphs. Mm-hmm. Love to hear your thoughts. And you out there in Radio Land, if you want to send us through a text, we've got the screen on the wall here so we can see your comments and your thoughts coming in real time. So here it is. Let me read just maybe the first couple of paragraphs here. It says, US military commanders have been invoking extremist Christian rhetoric about biblical, quote, end times to justify involvement in the Iran war to troops, according to complaints made to a watchdog group. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation, or the MRFF, says it has received more than 200 complaints from service members across all branches of the armed forces, including the Marines, Air Force, and Space Force. One complaint, identified as a non-commissioned officer or an NCO in a unit that could be deployed, quote, at any moment to join operations against Iran, told MRFF in a complaint viewed by The Guardian that their commander had, and here's the gist of the article, Gary, that their commander had, quote, urged us to tell our troops that this was all part of God's divine plan, end of quote, and he specifically referenced numerous citations out of the book of Revelation, referring to Armageddon and the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And just a couple more quotes here, Gary. He goes on to say, this particular NCO, quote, he said that President Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to earth. End of quote, the NCO added. The NCO's complaint was filed on behalf of 15 troops, including 11 Christians, one Muslim person, and one Jewish person. The complaint was first shared by MRFF with Jonathan Larson, an independent journalist. Look, there's a bit more going on, but what do you think about that, Pastor Gary? And here is the military of the US getting their orders, so to speak, from the higher up, saying, what you're doing, this is all part of God's divine plan. I don't know. When I heard that, I said, man, I have to share that tonight on Drive Time, because I know that you are passionate about what's happening on the world stage, Gary. How do you see this, Gary, this idea of God's divine plan and just the whole saga that's unfolding in the US?
Yeah, Will, what you've actually brought up here, I believe, is it's a really significant issue, because this is something that you will actually never hear talked about on the secular media. The secular media certainly present this conflict as being largely a secular war. This is all about atomic bombs. This is we don't want to give Iran the weapons that they would love to have. It's now become about oil. These are all things which are key to certainly the secular media. But what a lot of people don't actually realize is that I believe there's actually significant religious undertones to this particular issue. Now, for example, in America, there is a huge group of Christian evangelicals who have got a significant belief that something has to happen in Israel.
Yep.
They're certainly looking for the temple to be rebuilt. They're looking for the Jews ultimately to be able to convert the world. And most significantly, they believe all this has to happen before Jesus can actually return. Now, of course, that is actually not a scriptural teaching. That's the thing that actually blows me away is that it comes from one or two allusions, but there is so much more that's actually written on the second coming of Jesus Christ that gives us a far better picture of what is going on. But who is certainly the president, Donald Trump's voter base? Well, I'd suggest to you that one of the major voting bases for the current president is, in fact, evangelical Christians.
Correct.
What's actually occurring here is there a way where he would be able to provide, I suppose, electoral impetus to that voter base?
Yep.
Well, yeah, there is actually. Do exactly. Find a way whereby Israel can be empowered to be able to do something that they have long been looking forward to.
Yep.
And as I look at this, I just look at this and say, hey, I don't think a lot of the secular world, the secular media, actually understand the full implications, the religious implications of what's actually occurring out there today.
Yep, yep, absolutely, Gary. And I was just while we're on this topic, you mentioned the idea of Christian nationalism, this rise of Christian nationalism within the higher, the upper echelon ranks, you know. So I've got another article just kind of marries well into what we're talking about. There is on the MS Now blog an article that was just posted just about a month ago. I don't know if you heard, you probably came across this on the news, and the title of this article, I won't read the whole thing, but the caption itself, you kind of get the gist of it. Pete Hegseth, it says, Hegseth welcomes radical Christian nationalists to lead an official Pentagon prayer service. Pastor Doug Wilson's role at an official event at the Defense Department should be seen as a scandal worthy of scrutiny, according to this particular journalist on NS Now. So you definitely see a lot of this Christian nationalism rising up within the US and even in certain parts here in Australia.
Well, this is something that, to me, is incredibly surprising because when it does occur in Australia, it tends to get pushed down fairly quickly because we tend to be a secular state. There are certainly some who would like to move that direction, but it tends to be suppressed fairly quickly. But within America, America certainly has this understanding, or certainly certain portions of America have this understanding about themselves that they were raised up by divine initiative. And therefore, they've got a divine purpose to this world.
Yeah. And I certainly see that within, you know, with what's happening in the US, and certainly with this article about these, you know, these military personnel who getting essentially told from their higher leaders that what they're doing is of biblical proportions. I just find that staggering. And, you know, being a Christian now and being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian for a while now, probably going on 20 years plus, we often see, irrespective of my faith background, but often sometimes, let's just use the term Christianity in general. We're looking at what's happening in the world, and then we're kind of saying, hey, how does this play out into end time events and prophecy? And can I just say, Gary, that what we are seeing with the US, this speed at which it is, we're actually in the midst of a war right now. I mean, on the world stage, there's the US and Iran. I can't help but think that, when I read the Bible and my particular understanding of the book of Revelation, particularly, chapter 13, the role of the US, certainly, for us as Christians, it gives us pause to say, hey, we've got to recognize the times we're living in. And like you said, mainstream media and much of our culture is almost aloof to what's happening in the US. And when you see articles like this where, you know, these military leaders are kind of saying this is God's plan and we're part of, and I think there's always a danger when rulers, whether they're political, religious, whatever, even I'm thinking of various cult leaders that over the century, there's this commonality of this is what God wants.
Yes.
And almost using the religion card and kind of putting themselves in the place of God that really steers so many people astray.
Well, Christian nationalism, Will, does actually make, if you like, Christianity a political card.
Yeah.
In the a great big dynamic. Now, of course, the thing that Jesus never wanted to build a kingdom on earth. The kingdom was still to come. When Jesus Christ comes, he will establish the kingdom that's going to dwell on this earth when he comes. But while he was here, one of the things his disciples wanted to do so much was actually to raise up if you like, Jewish nationalism.
Yeah.
What we're getting today is American nationalism, that we have got a religious purpose to this world. Now, one of the things that I think we mustn't forget about is Revelation 13, as you've correctly pointed out there, because Revelation 13, I believe, actually talks about this. I believe it certainly speaks the second beast of America.
Yeah.
And the one thing it appears to indicate is it's going to form an image of a previous beast that ruled during the Dark Ages. And of course, the thing that that previous beast did during the Dark Ages was it amalgamated the state and religion, and it became a persecuting power.
Yeah.
And Revelation 13 seems to indicate that that is exactly where America is going to go. And to me, when I used to share that in seminars that I used to run. I still run these seminars, but the reaction of people is different. Years ago, they would actually say to me, "Oh, Pastor, look, you know, the Bill of Rights won't allow that sort of thing to happen in America." But now you make these types of statements and people can say, "Oh, I can see it. Yeah. I can see it. Something is happening there. Something grand, something significant is occurring."
Yep. And, you know, as you were sharing, Pastor Gary, it just came into my mind, you're actually a subject matter expert in this area because, correct me if I'm wrong, you wrote a book on the very events of Revelation.
I did. I felt so impassioned about this subject that I tried to spend a fair bit of time. I wrote a book of certainly Revelation 13, 14, 17 and 18 were the major chapters, and that's still on Amazon to this day. So, it's...
I reckon our Faith FM team should...
I've never actually shared this on air. You've got something out of me that I have never.
You mean you haven't shared it with our Faith FM audience?
I haven't shared it with
our Faith FM. Come on, Pastor Gary.
Yeah. No, well, it's available on Faith FM. If people search under my name, Gary Hodgkin, it's very easy to find. If you try to search through the title, you get it mixed up with a lot of other titles. It's entitled The Bible, The End Times, the Bible, The Church, and The End Times. And the easiest way to find it on Amazon is to search under my name.
Yeah. I think that could be the brewings of a whole week that we could have on Faith FM.
I'd be happy to share on that, but yes.
Fantastic. Well, hey, listen, we could talk at length about this conversation, something that Pastor Gary is passionate about, myself included. The interplay between current world events and prophecy is something that as Christians we certainly need to be aware of. What's the conversations that are happening in the marketplace? Even as we share this, Gary, maybe a closing thought as we wrap up this segment. I'm just saying, I'm a pastor of a local congregation here. And if anything, perhaps there needs to be more from our pulpits about not the fear monger, not to scare people into a religion where we're constantly reading the latest updates, in a general view, upholding what the book of Revelation is saying. And in a Christ-centered, gospel-centered way, saying, hey, at the end of the day, this is foretold. We're seeing elements of this being played out right before our very eyes. And what does Jesus say? He says, when you see these things happen, look up because your redemption
and
draws.
This is so important. You know, I'm actually preaching these days in a different church almost every weekend. Yeah. And this last week I was in another church, but the subject that I'm actually dealing with, I'm actually sharing what is happening in the religious world, because so many people who sit even in church pews aren't aware of what's actually being written about in the religious news media and the implications for it today, because their religious news media are reporting on this conflict in Iran differently to what the secular news media is. And to me, this is something that must not be overlooked, and certainly it's something that I really enjoy sharing on.
Amen to that. Look, we're going to just have to close the World Watch segment. As you can see, Pastor Gary is riled up here, and rightfully so, because we are seeing events transpiring right before our eyes. What do you guys think out there? We've got the lines open, and if you send a text through, we'd love to share your comment. Love to engage with you if you have the opportunity. That's if you're not driving, if you're at home or wherever you find yourself at this very moment. Hey, text us through. Let us know where you're tuning in from. So it's a nice segue. We're going to go to some music. But before we do that, we want to promote our book offer in line with our theme, talking about creation. Here is a book that we'd love to give to you, our loyal listeners, free of charge. And the title of the book is Creation and Evolution, A Thoughtful Look at the Evidence That a Master Designer Created Our Planet. And it's by the author Dwight K. Nelson. If you'd like a free copy, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I already understand the concept of creation. I don't need any convincing, so to speak. But you might have a friend. You might have someone at work, a family member, a spouse, whoever it is. Why don't you text through and you can give that book to them. So if you'd like a free copy of the Dwight Nelson's Creation and Evolution book, A Thoughtful Look at the Evidence That a Master Designer Created Our Planet, all you need to do is grab your phone and text the code. So here's the text for tonight. The code, sorry, SA408. So when you text us through, you don't need to text us anything else. That's the only thing you need to text. SA408. Text that code to the number 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you soon as we can. So once again, Creation and Evolution, a wonderful resource by Dwight Nelson. If you like a free copy, the code to text through to us, SA408. And the number is 0488880811. Please don't go away. We're going to go to some music. And when we come back, we'll be unpacking tonight's big question. What does the Bible say about creation and why does it matter? We'll be back in just a few moments.
My Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. My Lord, He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be.
Guy Penrod with a beautiful rendition of the old classic hymn, He Hideth My Soul. We hope you enjoy that song. If you just tuned in, it's Gary and Will in the studio tonight. We are coming to you live from our Faith FM studio here in beautiful Adelaide. Thank you for joining us. We've started a brand new theme for tonight and for the rest of the week, the church and creation in a post-biblical era. That's a theme that our team will be discussing on Drive Time Big Q&A. But tonight, Gary and I will be looking at the question, what does the Bible say about creation and why does it matter? So, Pastor Gary, walk us through, if someone came up to you and said, you know, you Christians believe all this creation stuff, but, you know, I don't really think it's all that important. How would you, and you've probably had people that sentiment being thrown at you over the years. Mm. But talk to our listeners, why is the topic of creation, or firstly, what does the Bible say about creation? And furthermore, why does it actually matter?
Will, I really love this particular subject. It's a little bit of a passion of mine. Over many years, I've actually been called to speak. I can well remember sharing with university students on this particular subject. It's really important that we actually think through this issue. Now, one of the things that I'd like to start, I suppose, in a slightly different way.
Sure.
And that is that the second part of that question, why does it matter? To me, I'd like to answer that first.
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll come back to what does the Bible actually say? You know, Will, when I first graduated from theological college, I had a rather simplistic belief on this particular,
right.
On this particular subject. You see, that was way back in the 1980s. I hadn't dug very much into it. And in many ways, I had lived in a little bit of a religious cocoon. Now, it's amazing once you come into ministry,
yeah.
You get pushed outside of that cocoon and people do actually start to challenge you.
Yeah.
You see, back in those days, I knew that there were largely two significant groups, two significant viewpoints on this issue.
Right.
There were those creationists; these were the people who followed the Bible, and then there were these evolutionary people who basically rejected it. And you had good people on both sides of the equation, but it was a fairly simplistic understanding. Now, The logic as to my understanding was actually, I would have called it simplistic today. It went something like this. If one believes in an omnipotent, and of course that was a significant word back there, omnipotent means all powerful. Yeah. If one believes in an omnipotent or an all powerful, a supernatural God, then what more reasonable conclusion could there possibly be than that such a God was able to create?
Yep.
Now, of course, the converse was also true. If one denies the existence of an omnipotent God, then evolutionary theory really was the only available option. Now, that was in my view, and I left college and I hadn't thought too much about this particular issue.
Right.
But then I get pushed into the big wide religious world. I start studying the scriptures with people. I start talking to some university students.
Sure.
And I suddenly became aware that this belief wasn't quite that simple. It started to get actually a lot more complex for me when I discovered at a Christian conference, no less, that multitudes of religious people have also adopted a evolutionary belief with a slight twist.
You're right.
Now, the slight twist was this. They had become theistic rather than atheistic evolutionists. Now, what does that actually mean? Well, that actually means there are different varieties of theistic evolution, but in simple terms, theistic evolution is the belief that God started the process of evolution, maybe way back at the Big Bang, somewhere like that. God started it all off, but then he allowed the process of evolution to take place.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, my understanding and my pat answers actually started to get thrown in a little bit of a heap because it was no longer the believers here are believing the Bible and the unbelievers are over there rejecting the Bible, yeah, therefore accepting evolution.
Right.
But suddenly I've got another group, and it's a significant number of believers who are believing in this thing called theistic evolution and said, hey, we actually have a God who created this world, but through the means of evolution. Now, this sort of takes me on a little bit of a journey.
It sounds like a bit of both.
Well,
so they believe in God as creator, but they also believe in the concept of evolution at the same time. So
it's a little bit of a halfway house,
right?
It's a little bit of a halfway house. It's one of those positions. In fact, one of the best critiques I've ever heard of this particular position is actually given by none other than Richard Dawkins. Now, this is probably right. The only subject that myself and Richard Dawkins would actually agree on. Right. He actually made a very significant statement, simply saying that if you're going to be fed to what the scriptures are actually saying, you can be one or the other, but you can't have this halfway house. And Richard Dawkins really pulled this belief apart and mocked believers who actually held this belief, because what he said was that those individuals are in fact being totally inconsistent to their own beliefs.
Right.
And he made a very powerful case on this particular issue.
Okay.
Anyway, have you noticed this issue out there in the religious world?
With the concept of creation versus evolution?
And the whole theistic evolutionary type belief.
Look, my earliest conception or someone that espoused that term was actually a lecturer that had come to Avondale many, many moons ago when I was studying.
Yep.
And I didn't realize the stir he was creating when he came for a few days. He was running some meetings. But look, the honest truth is it's – not something I've really dug into and really understood at a very deep level. Because I think, like you, Christians generally have a very black and white approach to this. It's either God created everything and there's no hint of evolution whatsoever, or there's, you know, you go the other way and you throw God out of the equation. Hence the merging of the two. It's not something that I would like to say I'm an expert in, but I can see maybe why there are some, you know, creation purists that would object to that type of thinking.
Okay. One of the things that this belief started me on a track, and I started to do some homework and doing some research, and one of the research started by my making this question: how prevalent is this belief amongst people of faith? How many of them actually believe in this thing called theistic evolution, that God started the process, but then evolution took over? Well, I went and did my research, and these days you can actually pick it up online very easily, because the Pew Research organization has actually surveyed this very question.
Okay.
What is the religious group's views on evolution? Now, this is, I'm quoting from the results of the Pew research on evolution.
Yeah.
What does Buddhism believe? Many Buddhists see no inherent conflict between their religious teachings and evolutionary belief. Buddhism.
Correct.
They are quite happy to move that way.
Yeah.
What about Catholicism? Now, this is Pew Research. This isn't me. The Catholic Church generally accepts evolutionary theory as the scientific explanation for the development of all life. However, this acceptance comes with the understanding that natural selection is a God-directed mechanism of biological development. So this is
interesting.
This is part of the official belief of the Catholic Church. What about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? The Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm quoting directly from Pew Research here. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints' first public statement on human origins was issued in 1909, echoed in 1925 when the Church's highest governing body stated, "Man is the child of God, formed in the divine image and endowed with divine attributes." However, several high-ranking officials have more recently suggested that Darwin's theory does not directly contradict with church teachings.
Wow.
What if we go to the Church of England? This is in America, the Episcopal Church. In 1982, the Episcopal Church passed a resolution to affirm its belief in the glorious ability of God to create in any manner, and in this affirmation, reject the rigid dogmatism of the creationist movement.
Wow.
Now, you know, I could... In other words, this is part of the official beliefs.
Yep.
This Pew Research actually goes on and talks about the...
That's quite interesting.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. While the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has not issued a definitive statement on evolution, it does contend that God created the universe and all that is therein, only not necessarily in 6 24-hour days, and that God actually may have used evolution in the process of creation. Now, this is in the official documentation. This research goes on, talks about Hinduism, it talks about Islam, it talks about
every main faith.
Judaism, the Presbyterian Church. In 1969, as far back as 69, the Presbyterian Church, a governing body, amended its previous position on evolution, which was originally drafted in the 19th century, to affirm that evolution and the Bible do not contradict each other.
Wow.
You know, you go through this Pew Research, and what you actually discover is that, and this is what I discovered very quickly, was that, well, I, in taking a biblical view of creation, I was actually out on a little bit of a limb.
Yeah.
Now, to me, this is an issue that, to me, I think is highly significant, because how How is the believer, the man, the woman who sits in the pews week by week, how are they to actually respond? Because to me, I'm conscious that many believers, particularly the people who sit in the pews, are in fact incredibly confused on this issue. What should they believe? Their churches in the official documentation are saying one thing, and yet when they read their Bible, they appear to actually be reading something that says something totally different.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this is a perfect foundation for confusion. And, you know, as I got into this subject, I started to actually realize that, this issue is far bigger. This is not just, an issue of, you know, believers believe in creation, unbelievers, they believe in evolution. No, there's a huge halfway house here that has been adopted by the majority of certainly the Christian and the religious world. Yes. And I suggest that this week we actually have to look at this and find a way of responding to this situation.
Yeah. Do you sense in your experience as well, Pastor Gary, that that there are some Christians who maybe, for lack of a better answer, they don't really see it? Hence the title of our question tonight. They don't really see a big deal, or they haven't really explored the implications of, you know, the, you know, going down the evolutionary route. But
this is huge. This is really huge, Will, because I'm conscious that many haven't thought it through, and the churches, because of where the churches officially stand, are silent on digging into what the implications of the of an evolutionary worldview actually are for biblical theology. And this is what we actually want to dig into this week.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor Gary, how about we hit the pause button for just a few moments? We'll go to a break and we'll come back and we'll finish the conversation there. Loving this conversation so far. Hope you are as well. We just want to promote the book offer one more time. So if you missed it the first round, here it is again. If this is down your alley, tonight's conversation, you would love this free resource. The title of the book is entitled Creation and Evolution: A Thoughtful Look at the Evidence That a Master Designer Created Our Planet. And it's by author Dwight K. Nelson. If you'd like a free copy, either for yourself or a friend, you just need to grab your phone and text us the code. So tonight's code, SA408. You need to text the code SA408 to our number, which is 0488880811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. Please go away. We've got a bit more to go in our live show tonight. We'll be back in just a few moments.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Calls me home here in the power of Christ. I'll stand.
In Christ Alone by Keith and Christy Getty and Alison Krauss. We hope you enjoyed that beautiful rendition. If you've just joined us, we're on the tail end of our live show tonight, having a conversation about creation. What does the Bible say and why does it matter? And Pastor Gary has been, reading some very interesting statements from various Christian faith groups that, expressing how they view the whole conversation. And it's quite startling, to be totally honest with you. Hey, just want to give a quick shout out. We've had a couple of people that have texted through, Pastor Gary, for the book offer. A little earlier in the show, we had Zachary tuning in from Tassie, mate. So, Zachary, just want to acknowledge you, mate, and we've got your book offer, your text. We'll send that book out to you. Thanks for supporting us all the way from Tassie. And just recently, we've got, I believe the name is Ale Falchi. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. And Ale, I think you are tuning in from Victoria. So, hey, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will get that booked out to you as soon as we can. And thank you once again for supporting, Drive Time BQ&A. Pastor Gary, time's up to you. We've got a few more minutes to go. Walk us through a couple of, some closing thoughts, a couple of points you want to wrap up our live show with. I know there's so much to share. I believe you're going to be in the hot seat again tomorrow. But just kind of wrap this thing up for us. Why does it matter? And I know you've already championed that thought, but you've read various statements from other faith groups, Christian groups. Do you see maybe an issue there with some of those statements you read?
Look, I think we'll ultimately, we've got to come back to how do I actually view the Word of God? Ultimately, that is the determining factor, certainly for myself.
Yeah.
I started doing my homework again because, I came to an understanding of where the Christian world actually was and what they had adopted. I'd encourage listeners, if you doubt, why not just simply ask your church pastor, what do you actually believe on this particular subject? Because I believe it'd be highly, highly revealing. What does the Bible actually say about this subject? Well, as I go into the Word of God, I found some incredible statements. 2 Peter 3, 3 to 5. Above all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers are going to come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that he has promised? For ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. In that day and age, Even the unbelievers believed in a thing called creation, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of the word and by water. Mm. You know, to me, the thing that is significant here is that in the New Testament, what we have is the Apostle Peter. He is presenting a creationist belief as a legitimate belief.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back into the Old Testament, you get Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. The whole Old Testament, as I studied it, I came to realize that that part of the scriptures also teaches that the word of God is actually the power source for the creation of this world. You know, this is just so repetitious, and I'm conscious that our time is really against us to be able to give a full summary of what the scriptures are actually saying. But you know, the thing that I did actually come to realize, Will, is that I actually had a choice. I could believe the word of God, or I could mutilate the word of God.
Wow.
You see, I've got friends that we've talked about this subject, who certainly would take Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and certainly regard that as myth. They have to interpret it as myth, because if they interpret it as literal, then there is only one conclusion you can actually come to.
Correct.
So therefore, this has to be interpreted as a myth, and therefore an evolution belief can be written into the Word of God. But to me, as Richard Dawkins correctly points out, we are being unfair to the Word of God at that point.
Yep.
If, in fact, we say that the Word of God is a legitimate, it is the source and the authority for the belief of the Christian person, then I believe we need to take it as it reads and not artificially mutilate it in some way.
Yeah, which kind of lends into the wider field of actually how do we actually study the Bible? And I think the scholarly term that is used when we try to understand how to interpret the Bible is hermeneutics.
Yeah,
and I don't know, that word just kind of surfaced to my brain when you were mentioning just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
How do we read the Bible? How do we understand if something is allegorical or it's prophetic or if it's poetic? Because the Bible has so many genres. But you know, that is the million-dollar question. How do you read Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because how you understand those opening chapters of Genesis, if you are reading it through a lens other than what the biblical author has intended, then obviously you're bound to come up with all types of theories and understandings that, quite frankly, is not there in the Bible.
And
which is quite scary.
We're actually going to get into this entire subject tomorrow, and I'll be leading the Bible study again tomorrow. But the issue that we want to talk about tomorrow is this whole issue of worldview. And what we're actually going to suggest is that a biblical worldview is actually separate from a secular worldview. There are many different worldviews out there. That's just two of them. But I'm going to suggest that a biblical worldview is in fact diametrically opposed to the standard secular worldview that's been adopted within our community. A worldview is how I actually interpret the information that's actually provided in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to suggest is that the Word of God has actually got some foundations that you don't find in the secular world. And it's when those foundations are understood that you actually start to get an incredibly powerful understanding of what the scriptures do actually declare. Personally, I believe that God did create this world a short time ago, 6, 7, 8,000 years ago, and that he did it by the word of his mouth. I've got no problem with saying that, because to me there is sufficient evidence to actually back that up.
Yep. Praise God, Pastor Gary. We've got maybe just a couple more minutes to go. Can I just share something? And it's something that happened at the church that I pastor here in Adelaide, Para Vista Church. As you know, Pastor Gary, and you pastored this church many moons ago. We celebrated our 40th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Now, can I just share with our listeners out there? I asked Pastor Gary a week or two ago, can you please put together a 2-minute video to share with the saints about your time at Para Vista, and just to, you know, just encourage the our church members there. But you said something in that video, because we were all watching it in the service. You mentioned, which kind of ties in, I think, to what you're saying here tonight. You said, when you talk about the Gospels, we shouldn't just celebrate the way Jesus lived and how he treated people. I'm paraphrasing now.
Yes.
But we can't separate who Jesus was and what he taught.
Yes.
And I loved when you said that, because it seems to be a thing within certain
many churches.
Yeah, and people adopt the idea that, hey, Jesus was accepting, he loved people, and he was just, you know, as Christians, he is who we all try to live our lives ourselves.
Yeah.
But what you said was quite interesting, because, hey, what did he actually teach about various things?
Yes.
Hence, what did he teach about creation? What did he teach about marriage? What did he teach about the Sabbath? And so there's, I love what you said. We can't just profess to be followers of Jesus and believe the Bible, but we've actually got to look at the Bible and not what I think and what the culture is saying, but what does the Word of God actually say?
And the Word of God actually, Jesus in the Gospels actually says so much on this subject. We're going to spend an entire day this week just dealing with Jesus in the Gospels on the subject of creation. And I tell you, every time we do this, it blows people's mind, because they don't realize how much Jesus had to say on this subject.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Gary, it's been a delight to be in the studio. I just feel inspired myself to really study into these topics, you know, and for myself, you know, as we're, and obviously with you being in pastoral ministry for many, many years, you know, often you know, there's the question of, what do you want to share with the saints? And I feel like tonight, it's like the Spirit is saying to me, hey, these are things you should be sharing from the pulpit. Mm. You know, we can't just take for granted that our members, understand the concept of creation. And, you know, we can't assume anymore. Mm. We've got to, cause we often take that approach, Pastor Gary, is we want to, share the message in the context that someone new may be coming for the first time. And I get that whole, you know, that idea and the idea that they're going to be, but what about our saints who need to be reminded and maybe even discover some of these truths that they have been, believing in or profess to know and understand? So it's food for thought for me as we kind of, round out our show tonight. Mm. Pastor Gary, unfortunately, going to have to say goodbye at this juncture. Thank you, Pastor Gary, for, sharing with our, listeners tonight. Please join Pastor Gary and Pastor Marty as they look at the question tomorrow night, creation. Why is worldview important? That's 5 p.m. Adelaide time. 88.0 tomorrow night. God bless you. We'll hope to see you next time. May God bless.